in the lee of their economic betters. Unless someone had died during the night, there were 45 full-time residents. The locals survived by trading with travelers, taking whatever the newcomers had of value in exchange for jolt or juice or sex, or food or drinking water, or temporary protection from what lay outside the defensive perimeter. Though Interstate 15 was primarily a walking road, occasionally a wag would pass through, bearing trade goods and news from other parts of Deathlands. After clearing the entry checkpoint, the bus driver parked alongside the Ville's central structure.
"What's this all about?"
Seeing what had arrived, people came running. Carrying his shovel, Huth joined the crowd that surrounded the strangely decorated wag. The driver stood in the bus's doorway, grinning. He was a big man, easily 350 pounds and 6'2". He wore a squashed canvas fedora, which sat like a pancake on the back of his huge head, and faded bib-front denim jeans.
"Come on, come on! Gather around, everybody!"
As the crowd closed in, the driver used the metal ladder bolted to the bus's side to climb to the roof. Once there, he did a sort of flamenco dance, his arms curved gracefully over his head, his laceless lager boots hammering on the sheet steel. Huth noticed the way the sun gleamed off his right hand, which was the color of old ivory and obviously artificial.
"Come on and bring your cups. I got free joy juice for everybody. I got free slip and slide, too. Wake up, you lazy sluts. Get up here and show your stuff."
A frowsy female head appeared in one of the bus's rear windows, hair like a great lopsided wad of pink cotton wool. A second woman popped up beside the first, her face powdered white and her cheeks rouged a feverish red.
"Hey, that's what I'm talking about."
The third occupant was male. Dense black facial stubble had grown through his many layers of pancake makeup.
"I thought that was more your speed."
"Fuck you."
The unwholesome trio exited the bus and started up the ladder to the roof. They were dressed in matching outfits, a white string t-shirt and stiletto-heeled leather boots. None of them wore anything below the waist. Their well-worn genitalia had the ruddy brown color of smoked meat. Their buttocks and thighs were badly bruised.
"He's hung like a horse! Hee-hoo! Yeah!"
The pink-haired slut carried a battery-powered boombox, which she passed up to the driver. The big man propped the radio on his shoulder and hit the power switch. The three whores began dancing, and the driver did a few turns himself before setting the boombox on the roof.
"Got your cups? Well, goddammit, go get 'em!"
"Well, all right! Woo-hoo!"
As most of the folks rushed off, the driver descended the ladder and ducked inside the bus's doorway. When he reappeared, he had a gray insulated plastic mug in his good left hand. Huff was standing close enough to get a look at the prosthesis at the end of the other arm. It wasn't carved of ivory or any other natural material. Every finely sculpted finger had two articulated joints. The thumb had one, plus the knuckles, and there was a small, knurled knob on the back of the wrist. As the scientist watched, the big man tightened down the knob, which made the fingers and thumb contract in a death grip around the mug's handle.
Woo-hoo!
Mug and fist, the driver danced some more. He was very light on his feet for a man his size. After a minute or two, he stopped and pulled the end of a length of plastic hose out a side window. When he opened the metal clamp on its tip, a clear fluid sprayed into his waiting tankard.
"We're gonna have so much damn fun! Hey, whores! Dance, you sexy devils! Show these good folks what you can do!"
The trio began bucking their pelvises and rotating their hips with more enthusiasm.
"Woo! Shake it! Shake it!
For those of you who don't know me, I'm Big Mike, also known as Mike the Drunkard!"
He tipped back the mug and began to swallow, his Adam's apple bobbing. He didn't stop until he'd emptied it.
Woo-hoo!
"Everybody belly up! Come on now, don't be shy! It's fill-em-up time!"
Huth, who had no cup, was shoved, elbowed, and punched out of the way by those who did.
Cretins.
The boombox on the roof stopped playing for a second. Then the same song started over again automatically. Mike the Drunkard used his real hand to backslap and goose the spectators as he topped off their containers.
"Whoa, are we gonna party? Get this bus a rockin' in no time!"
He made a lewd crotch thrust at his own drained mug before refilling it. In short order, Big Mike had everybody around the bus drinking, dancing, and laughing. But Huck, who stood at the edge of the crowd, leaned dejectedly on the handle of his shovel. When Mike scrambled back up to the roof of the bus, he turned down the volume on the radio. The song had started over for the fifth time.
Right about now, you're probably asking yourselves, where does this big old sexy magic man come from? And where did he get all the chili joy juice he's giving away?
Ew, tell us!
Yeah, tell us!
The answer to both questions is... Slick City!
It took a few seconds for this to sink in. Gradually, the Byram Billers stopped dancing. They stood like statues beside the bus, glaring at the big man. Mike raised his good hand.
Now, now. I know you've heard it's a wasteland over there. But that's a rumor, started by some of the people who are already there. They're greedy bastards. They want to keep all the sweet stuff for themselves.
That's Baron Jolt's turf. And as far as I'm concerned, that raping, chilling bastard can have it.
Everybody knows Slake City's nothing but a nuke slag heap. The background rad turns you into a pile of pus and sores inside a month.
No, no, that's how it used to be. Not anymore, though. The place is all cleaned up. It's safe as mother's milk. And Baron Jolt's long gone. We got real jobs there now. It's fat, I'm telling you. Just like before Skydark. People are eating regular, getting drunk regular, living out of the chem rains in clean shacks with good shithouses. Slake City's starting over again, and the folks who get in on the ground floor are going to have the edge. Have a chance to get barren rich. That's why I'm here. Slake City needs folks like you, enterprise and right-thinking folks who know an opportunity when they see one.
While the crowd considered this, Mike the drunkard clambered from the roof and quickly refilled all the empty cups. It was then that Huff took note of the massive bracelet around the bus driver's left wrist. Dull silver in color, its surface was filigreed with solid-state circuitry. The sight made Huff's mouth drop.
It can't be.
Pulse pounding, he fought to get a closer look, though it meant absorbing numerous blows to his head, back, and arms.
How did you lose your right hand?
Got it caught up the wrong ass.
The former chief whitecoat of five, now latrine engineer, used the handle of his shovel like a lance, clearing a path to the front of the crowd. He held up the pocket of his lab coat to the big man.
Do you know what this means?
I can't read too good.
Huff reached out and tapped the metallic wristband.
I came from the same place as that.
Big Mike stared at Huff's gapped teeth, his dirt-caked face, his unspeakable pants, and dismissed him.
Yeah, right.
I know what it's used for. You've got bands just like it around your ankles, too, don't you?
So?
Did it hurt much when they lopped off your hand?
Big Mike seized Huff by the collar and dragged him and his shovel up the steps into the bus. Inside, it smelled like a cross between a distillery and a bear pit. The rear seats had been removed to make room on the floor for a pile of badly stained mattresses. A half-dozen 55-gallon metal drums of joy juice were securely strapped to the floor. The drums were all stenciled with Baron Jolt. Huff endured a brutal shaking. Then the big man held him close.
How do you know about my hand? Who the fuck are you?
I crossed over ahead of the people who did that to you. My coming to this world was an accident. I was lost in the wilderness. And then I ended up in this place in very sorry circumstances. My name's Dr. Huff. I'm somewhat famous where I come from. Maybe the others talked about me, or mentioned my name in passing.
Nope.
Well, one thing's for certain. You have become their puppet. Those laser cuffs can turn you into a victim in a hurry. Without hands and feet, you'd be a big lump of warm, helpless meat that anyone can play nasty with. How much chain did they give you? 50 miles? 100? Go one step farther, break the transmitter's signal, and zap! All fall down.
You better not queer my pitch here. I got a quota to make.
Take me back with you. Take me back to my people. That's all I want, really.
Mike gave him a dubious look.
All right. No problem. You can ride with me all the way to Slake City.
Overjoyed, Huff started to throw his shovel out a window.
No, keep that. It'll come in handy later. I gotta go outside now. I gotta make my closing pitch before these triple stoops start sobering up.
He dug under a seat and removed a big yellow plastic tub. He patted the tight-fitting lid.
The deal clincher.
Hoth remained inside the bus while Big Mike stepped out and addressed the crowd.
Oh!